Here we go. I do have a message for this morning, amongst all the other things. It's a busy place and a wonderful place to be, giving your time and effort and life. Amen? Can you get a big amen for that one? Yeah. Yeah. So I asked a question last week, can you know God? Can you know the living God, the one true God, the invisible God who we can't see, we don't hear with our ears, we don't see with our eyes, but he is the one true God. There's lots of false gods, lots of counterfeits. Can you really know the capital G God of the universe? And, of course, the answer is yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You can know the Creator God. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. It says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So we know that. He has made himself known. As we care about all the nations. God is the God of the nations. That's why we support world missions and different efforts that we can do. We not only can know him, but we can hear his voice. As much as that's ridiculed today, we can hear God speak to us. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They not only hear his voice, but we hear and we act on, and that's the key, is acting on what we hear, because hearing is just the start. You can hear God, hear from him, and not do what he says. Or you can hear from him and do what he says, and that's when it comes alive. And I actually would like to have Race and Ezra come up here and give a short, brief testimony of a current thing that, a lesson that God gave him recently. And Ray, I just want you to share that. This is not turned on, so. There we go. Now it's on.
Well, this is flattering. So we were re-putting together our pole shed and our garage, because we had everything from the pole shed and the garage for my son's wedding. So Jake and Keisha, congratulations again.
Yes, Jake and Keisha, there you go.
So we're at the tail end of putting everything away, and you know how it goes when you're cleaning, you feel so good, you just want to kind of do some other stuff, and I wanted to bring more order, build some shelves, do some things like that. And so I'm in the pole shed thinking about what I'm going to do in the other garage, and these shelves for, you know, the rakes and hose, how they're always in a pile. I had a plan how they were all going to be orderly. And I thought, well, I need 3-inch screws because I'm going 2x4 into 2x4 everywhere. So I grab a big handful of 3-inch screws, and I hear in the back of my head, grab some smaller screws in case you're not going full wood into full wood. And I said, nah. So just totally disregarded that little voice that was contrary to it. Like, I had a mission. I'm getting 3-inch screws. I'm going to build all this wood stuff. And I don't need shorter screws at all. But I heard this voice say, get some shorter screws. And I actually said out loud, nah. And I grabbed the other screws, and I go, and I'm building all this stuff. And I was almost done, and I had these little metal hangers that I bent that would be like you'd put a broom. You'd put it up into one hanger, up into the other hanger, and it would just hang the handle down. Except they're like an 1/8 inch thick, and the 2x4 is 1.5 inches thick. If you're good at math, that's 1.625 inches. What's the remainder of the 3-inch screw that will go through the other side? It's about 1, 2, 3, 4 stitches. Because I was holding the bracket and holding the joist. And with the impact drill, you know those impacts like, they're really fast and they don't move to the square head, so it's not going to slip. So just zing, and it went in my finger there and out my finger there. I screwed it up.
And then what?
Well,
did you carefully put it in reverse?
I did not have the wherewithal to put it in reverse and pull the screw back out, so I just went, kazing! So,
okay.
That's a different that's effect good. At church.
That's a good one. Okay. That's all good. Right. Thank you. Thank you. So, thank you, Ray. You know God is able to restore, whether by stitches or, you know, forgiveness or whatever, if we don't listen and obey. But it's so much better to obey with and not need stitches. Amen to that? It's just like good to just listen firsthand. And that's how you get to listen. You get to learn by listening and then remembering that. And that's the key. Remember that. Because acting on his voice is so important. It takes it out of the theory realm. When we act on it, takes it beyond the realm of theory into the realm of reality. It's like, wow, that was God. Because 1 John 2:3 says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. That's what really makes a difference. When we obey what we know, not just know. That's a good start. That is the main start. Know, and we know primarily through his word. We know what he says, and then we do what he says, and good things happen. So yes, you can know God. You can hear his voice. The real life starts when we act on what he says, whether it's through the written word or the spoken word. And God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to our hearts, our minds, not with our ears that we hear, but in our spirits. And it'll never contradict his word, but it might be beyond something that's beyond his word, specifically to us. And today I want to address the fact that it takes faith. So knowing God, it takes faith. All right, that's the title. And I just want to pray and ask God to bless. Lord, we just come to you and we ask that you would bless this word. Lord, just make it practical. Help us to grow in the amazing reality of walking with the invisible God in a tangible, practical, real way that brings life. So Lord, thank you that you have made yourself known, and just bless our time. God, that you would cause the increase in our spiritual lives, that you would show yourself and reveal your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Israel was enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years, and the Lord, through many miraculous signs and wonders, said, come out of Egypt. He displayed his power, his manifest glory. He overpowered Pharaoh and all of his false gods and just made a public spectacle. He even wrote his word in stone. This is why we get the phrase, well, it's not, you know, this is our plans, but it's not written in stone. That's referring to the Ten Commandments that God himself, by his own hand, wrote the Ten Commandments, the law given to Moses in stone. But even that, it says they didn't benefit from it at all. It was broken before Moses, before he even got down from the mountain, they had totally desecrated what God had written, and he smashed it at their feet. And it says, so they didn't benefit from it. In Hebrews 4:2, in part, it says, the message they heard, the people of Israel, was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. And that's what I want to look at today, is primarily the focus. We can know the word, we can understand, we can have it written in black and white, have it written in stone, but if we don't combine it with faith, it is of no value to us. And so I want to look at some basic things about faith. To know God, faith is not an option, it's not an option, it's a must. So number one, faith is a must. The righteous live by faith. Not by sight. Jesus said you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again, born of the Spirit, made new, and it's by faith that we're born again. It's a gift. It's by faith that we are born again, and it's being born again that helps us to see the kingdom of God. It's just theory. It's just rules. It's just rituals until you're born of the Spirit by faith. Then you see, I mean, I tell you, I'm sure I'm in good company, but I had to go to church my whole childhood. We hated every minute of it, but it wasn't until I got born again that I wanted to go to church. I wanted to learn more. Who is this Jesus? How did I not know this my whole life? How did I go to church every week and not know this? And it was a transformation of my heart, because I was not just, didn't just have a drug problem that my parents drugged me to church and drugged me to Sunday school and drugged me to this and that. It was a I want to be there because God opened my eyes to the kingdom of God and I'm born again. And church is awesome. And I never thought I'd be leading one day. That's just a crazy. I used to make fun of Christians, big time. But it's an amazing thing that comes by faith, not of works, no deeds, no good deeds. We can't do enough good deeds to make us earn anything, to give us the right to be right with God. We come only by choosing to take God at faith value, which is what I thought about titling today's message, Faith Value. It's faith. Faith. This whole nation needs God. And I thought about, you know, faith the nation. Faith the nation. Okay, I'm trying to say faith here. Faith is a must. It's a must. The righteous live by faith, not by sight. So what is faith? Is it wishful thinking? Is it thinking positively? Is it hoping for the best? Is it just like saying, oh, it's all going to be fine. It's all going to be fine. It is not that. It is so much more solid than that, so much more substance than that. It's built on God's word, and it's built on God's track record. It's built on his history of faithfulness. Faith, and it's very clear in Hebrews 11, 1 through 2, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain. Everyone say certain of what we do not see. It's being sure and certain. This is what the ancients were commended for. God said it, and they learned the hard way. They made mistakes. The ancients made mistakes, but they learned, and God had it written down so that we would learn. So that we learn from their mistakes not to repeat what they did. You know, we don't know how many hundreds of thousands, if not more than a million, left Egypt with a promise of coming into a great place. Only two of those that left actually believed God for it and got in. All their children, a lot of their children and grandchildren made it in, but those that left Egypt didn't make it except two. Anyone know who two? Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua are the only two that left Egypt that actually got into the promised land. So faith is built on the history of God. When you apply faith based on his word, which is the promises of his word, it's not just, oh, I hope so, I'm wishing for it, I believe, I'm going to just claim it, and I'm going to know. I mean, there's some times where we claim God's word. That's a good time to claim it because God promised it. It's not his will that any should perish. That's a good prayer to hold on to, a good promise to hold on to regarding your own children or your spouse who doesn't know the Lord or whoever. That you can hold on to because we know it's God's will. It's not just hoping for the best in la-la land of making up your own, you know, way. And it's so you learn through the history of God's faithfulness, and that's why all these festivals were ordained of God to remember. It's always to remember God's faithfulness, how they were delivered out, how God showed up in this way and that way. And that's why what we has gone from holy day to holiday to the weekend. Because the devil doesn't want us remembering the significant things and moves of God that bring great faith. They bring great hope and great security. When we remember the faithfulness of God in the past, we apply that to the present. I say, if he was faithful then, why would he not be? And I can just trust that he will be now, and we hold on to it. And we trust him. We apply faith. And God has given everyone a measure of faith. Each of us have been given a measure, an amount. We don't know how much, but it's pretty clear in the scripture that we have what it takes to trust him. It's like, oh, I don't have enough faith. Oh, yeah, you do. God has given you what you need. You have all that you need for life and godliness. You have been given all that you need. You've been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Faith is in that category. Romans 12, 3 says, again, in part says, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So that right there says God has given us a measure of faith, each of us, and we're to build it up. We're to exercise it. It's not enough. It's not, okay, I got all I need, and now I just, you know, it's just going to be on autopilot and take care of itself, and it's all going to just work out. It's like, no, God wants you to exercise faith in situations, and he will even provide situations Like you're going to Cambodia and you need money to get to Cambodia. You know, it's like that's faith. It's not presumption. It's Gina's believing that God is leading her to go to Cambodia, and if God says go here, he will provide the means to get to there. Right? And it's not presumptuous, it's not arrogant, it's walking by faith. Is God able to, can he afford it? He can afford it. He's got all he needs to afford anything that he wants to do. And it'll be just fine. And so we all have a measure of faith, and we're to build it up. The scripture says our faith is of more value than gold. And it's the thing that allows us to connect to the things of God. Otherwise, without faith, we don't have any connection. I just want to grab something here. This is a grabber. So this is an illustration. This is faith. Faith allows us to take hold of Gina's cards and use them. So no, this is just a simple illustration. Without this, we don't have the ability to connect to the things of God. Faith is the connection between the natural and the spiritual. And this is just obviously a natural thing. It's kind of fun. I just want to pick something up with it. But I'm going to set this here. So you'll remember that. Okay? Faith is the substance. It's the certainty of God's word. And it is applied to our lives by faith. Things that come, the promises are there. They're not just going to happen. They are redeemed. They are grabbed hold of by faith. All right, number two, this is how we walk in the kingdom. Number two, faith honors and pleases God. Faith pleases God. God has done so much for us by sending his son to pay the penalty for our sin. This is when you know that you have been a scoundrel, even if you've been a nice person. There's some nice people here that were probably nice people from childhood. I wasn't one of them. And I when God got a hold of my life, I knew that I deserved to burn in hell forever. I knew that. Once I realized, you know, the perspective of God from his word, I deserve eternal damnation. And I want to make that severe because that's the reality. That's everyone's destiny because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we all deserve eternal separation from God. But God, in his mercy, provided a way of escape through his son, Jesus Christ, who never sinned once. He never committed any foul thought, any sinful act, any sinful anything. And because he was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, he was the only one qualified to be punished with just a crazy substitute, so he could be punished of all the things that I deserve punishment for. All the things that you deserve punishment for were laid on Jesus. And because if you believe that, anyone here believe that he did it for you, and then you go free because it's paid for, not through any righteous deeds of your own, not through any good works of your own, not because you go to church or give money to missionaries or give money to the church or feed the homeless or help the poor or do any of read the Bible or sing in the choir or whatever it is. All those are great things to do, but those aren't any way near ways to earn your rightness with God. It's only by the blood of Jesus and your faith in the blood of Jesus. It's how you grab hold of salvation for yourself is by faith. And God has revealed that in his word. That's the system. That's the only way. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And so faith pleases God. And so, of course, I want to do these things. We want to walk by faith because it honors him. It tells him, I believe what you said. I believe what you did was for me. And I've got five kids, they're all grown now, but when they were little and I told them to do something, they did it. That was honoring. That was great. That made me happy. Go over there and pick up your shoes, bring them over here. It's like, and they did it, and it's like, that's awesome. That's rewarding. And I want to bless them for their obedience in those simple ways. And God wants to bless us for honoring him with a life of faith. Taking him at his word and actually living according to his word blesses and pleases God. And he's a rewarder. So, you know, the whole idea of knowledge, you know, to know God, it was in the garden. It's the issue, to know God. And it's not just to know good and bad, because that's why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was laid there. Do you want to just know right and wrong? Well, that's what they ate from. They disobeyed God, and they ate from the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They ate the forbidden fruit, thinking that that would get them wisdom. Well, what it did was got them in trouble, because God is always about relationship. It wasn't that he was trying to keep good and bad or wisdom from them. He is wisdom, and he is wanting a relationship with us. He wants us to know him. In fact, the first lie was about knowing, where's your brother? Cain, where's your brother? I don't know. That was the first lie. That was about knowledge. It was about, yes, you do know. Yes, he did know. He killed him. And so we, and I think it's not just an American thing, but I know we, maybe more than any others, we think we should know. We think we deserve to know. I got to know this, I got to know that before I can do that. And God is saying, no, trust me. Know me and trust me. Trust my word. Not just trust wishful thinking and goodness, general, you know, happiness. Trust my word and I will lead you and I'll lead you well. And so we want to know him, and it's not easy. Number three, faith isn't easy. God knows it's not easy for us. There's a lot of opposition, a lot of hurdles, a lot of barriers. Feelings lie to us. They make us doubt that God is really for us. Make us question. That's what the devil wanted with Adam and Eve. Did God really say? Makes us want to doubt. Our feelings deceive us. Circumstances lie to us. Make it difficult to believe God for something when you're looking at all these circumstances that are screaming the opposite. Right? That are just telling you, no, no, he doesn't. No, he's not going to take care of you. No, that group is a bunch of losers. No, this or that, or no, you can't trust that, or no, you're in trouble. No, you're toast for believing this invisible craziness. Our own wisdom, our own smarts deceive us. We think we know better, right? It's a deception. We get to thinking we know better than God. And that's an ongoing, I don't need the short screws. These 3 inches will do just fine. I got this. Nah. I'm picking on Ray because we all do that. We all do that. We hear this little thought and we think, nah. I've done that. I can think of stories where clearly a thought came to my mind and I said, and I argued with it and walked away and said, nah. And then came to find out that was the Holy Spirit. Because something went wrong. And if he would have listened to that thought, but we learn and we build on that, and that's the faithfulness of God. And that is now in Ray's arsenal of remember that. And he's got the evidence to remind him, at least for a few weeks, in one side and out the other. It's like, youch, youch. And of course you don't just back it up. Hey, I just put it through. I think I'll back off. No, I don't think I'll rip it. Okay, just waking you up. Just waking you up. Good. So we have circumstances. We have our wisdom that gets in the way. It's like, what? Forgive? Nah. They don't deserve forgiveness. What? What? That's not. What? Give you control of my life, God? That's nuts. You crazy? I'm not going to do that. That doesn't make any sense at all. Come to church every week? What are you, nuts? What if I don't like what you're going to do with my life, God? What if I don't like what you're going to do? What if I don't like where you tell me to go and what you tell me to do and who you tell me to give to and who you tell me to forgive? basically we're saying, I'm smarter than you, God. You don't really know what you're doing. I'll trust you for a little thing or certain things, but this is the rest of this is, I'm, you know, I got it. Faith isn't easy. Israel, back in, they were coming back to Israel from Babylon, and they were given approval by King Artaxerxes. And Ezra, the priest of Israel, was in charge of bringing the people and reestablishing them back from Babylon into the land of Israel that they were banished from. And so they're coming back. He got like paperwork. Yes, I'm going to rebuild. I will pay to have the temple restored. And this is the priest of Israel, Ezra. And you would think he had all kinds of, you know, green light. But then it says there was a point where he was thinking he needs protection because there's enemies, there's robbers, there's pillagers along the way between Babylon and Israel. And it says in Ezra 8:22, says, I was ashamed to ask the king, Artaxerxes, for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road because we had told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him. He was embarrassed. He was struggling. This is the priest of Israel who has been given the green light finance to go back to Israel and rebuild the temple, the church. And he says, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed to ask for protection because I told him that God is going to protect us. But what if he doesn't? What if God doesn't protect us? There's enemies on the way. What if we get attacked? And it says, so even Ezra, who has a book of Ezra, who is in the forever in the Bible, even Ezra, who had the endorsement of the king that they were, you know, the pagan king, to pay for, to finance, to do what you need to do, even he struggled in his faith to trust God to protect them on the road back. Faith is not easy. But it does say that in the next verse, it says, so we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer, which is another, is a really godly response. But that's not easy. I'm going to fast and pray about this. He legitimately was intimidated and a little scared about doing this thing, going back. This is an entourage, and they were going back with great wealth from the king, all the gold and the silver that was taken from the temple. They're traveling with all this. So he had natural, I'm just saying, it's natural for us to struggle in our faith. It's okay, we're in good company, but when we do hold on to faith, that's why it's so pleasing to God. Because it's not easy. It's not simple. Oh, easy peasy. You know, I'm just going to trust God for the finance. I'm going to trust God for the health issues. I'm going to trust God for this relationship. It's like, no, it's not flippant. It's not easy. And that's why it's so pleasing to God. God is pleased when we live that way. So I want to do one more illustration here, and I need a volunteer. And let's see, where is Jason Preble? Come here. Thank you for volunteering. Now I want you to come up here. Whoa, wait a second. What are you, crazy? Back up. Hold on now. Just making sure. Man, you're assuming a lot of things. Yeah. I think it's good. Okay, come on up here. Don't come over on this side. God, you're living on the edge. Okay, I want you to sit down. Hold on, wait a second. Just back, not in a hurry. How do you know that chair is safe? How do you know that's, let's just make sure. Test it out a little bit. Make sure there's nothing, you know, hidden. It's all good. All right. I think it's good. Okay, you can have a seat. All right. Actually, pull it right up here. Pull it up here. There. All right. Now, I got something I want you to open up. So, go ahead and open that up. Oh, that, yeah, just a second. Golly, you're trusting. Okay, hold on. Wait a second, just a second. Okay, go ahead. Not yet. Just a second. Just a second. Here we go. This is new carpet.
Yeah.
Here we go. I mean, we got to be good stewards. I mean, what could possibly happen? But all right, put it under. Okay, hold on. Okay, now open it. Wait. You sure?
Are you sure? I
Okay, open it. See, there's no problem. No problem. Okay, just go ahead and take a drink. Smell it. Smell it. Do you smell anything?
Smells like Coke.
Smells like Coke, yeah, okay. Go ahead, take a sip. Take a big sip. Big gulp. Do you feel anything?
No. Am I supposed to feel
something? Does he look okay? Does he look all right? Forgot my battery. Seems okay. You feel all right?
Yeah.
Think you could walk off? What?
You moved the tarp.
Well, so it doesn't taste funny? Didn't,
No.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, stay there. Now, my fourth point is we live by faith a lot more than we think. We do a lot of things by faith. You think, oh, faith is hard. You know, that's crazy to live by faith. No, you live by faith all the time. God made you to want to live by faith. You were designed to trust. And you trust based on history. You trust based on God's building history in your life of his faithfulness. So I have learned that walking by faith, I've learned to go up to higher places with God that were unknown, but I found that he can be trusted and he's secure. He can make my path secure. I have learned to sit and rest in areas that God has given me the ability to trust that I can rest in this. I don't have to worry. I don't have to strive. I don't have to be anxious about it. I can rest. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. He has proven himself faithful by a history of his faithfulness to me. And this is why he wants you to remember how faithful he's been. In a new situation that you have right now that is challenging, think back of all the times God was faithful. How many times has he been up on this platform? He has never had trouble walking up these steps. So he didn't have to think about it. How many times have you sat on this chair? A chair? Many, many times. So he didn't have to wonder if it's safe. If it was a completely unknown foreign place, I've walked up some ladders like in that tower here that are just like questionable. You want to like kind of test it out, but I've done it enough. Now I can go up the ladders and I trust it. And we learn, and I've learned to taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's why I use Coke and not Pepsi. So it really explains, it really tells the story better, right? You get it, right? God is good, and you can all the time. Yes. So, Jason, you can go.
Okay.
And before you go, I want you to take this letter and mail it for me. Do you think it'll get where it needs to?
I mean, it should.
No, there's a man of faith. All right, there you go. Thanks, Jason. So we use faith a lot more than we give ourselves credit for. And it's not wishful thinking, Candyland faith. It's built on God's history, God's track record, that we know He is faithful. He has brought us through so many things. If He did it through that time, through those things, why would He not continue to be faithful? And if it's something goes wrong that we didn't see coming, it's because His wisdom is so much better than ours, and He's doing something. He's turning a corner that we can trust, that He's the one turning the corner. And He will lead us in a gracious way. So I want to close with a few photos from yesterday's event, that Run Baby Run. And so, by the way, we won the trophy. There's a trophy out in the lobby. We were the largest donors or the largest number of registrants. So anyway, way to go, River Church. It was a fun time. Way to go, Gina. Yeah. Another Gina Little is the director of the Pregnancy Options Center, Faribault local pro-life pregnancy center that we support, and they had a fundraiser. It was just a 5K, 10K run yesterday, and so we had almost 40 people there of you all, so it was really, really fun. And a profound thing happened to me, and it was very simple, but at the end, you know, so some are running, some ran 10K, way to go, some ran 5K, most walked. There's some kids things, but a lot of us just walked it, and it was just a good cause and a good day, a good Saturday morning to go. But at the end, and they have this electronic archway, and they show, they have these electronic things so that when you cross this starting line, it starts timing you, and then it times you, and so you can know when you cross it again, the finish line, it stops your time, and so you know. But at that finish line, there was a group of people about the block and starting, and then on into the, and they're just cheering, just saying, "You can do it! You're almost there!" And you get these cute little pom poms, you know, and my wife was big there, and there's the finish line. It's this inflatable thing, and people were high fiving. And it was a profound thing for me. You can just leave it there. Profound thing. I mean, I'm not a runner. You can probably tell that. I'm not a runner. And it was inspirational, that last block. It just made you want to be a runner. When people are saying, you're almost there. You can do it. It's a little longer. And you know, this person, that person, this person, another one, all the way in. And it just made you want to give it your all. Made you want to sprint through the end. And their faith is not easy, but you're surrounded by people who are cheering you on. You're surrounded by people who are saying, "You can do this. God is good. He's going to provide. He's going to guide. You have what it takes. You are blessed. We are grateful for you. We're grateful for what Jesus did. You can do this." And cheering you on. And we know that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We have witnesses, cheerleaders here among us, and cheerleaders that have gone before us. This whole book is full of people who are cheering on the work of God on the earth. That's by faith. It's not easy. We're in a select few people that are running a race that is not an easy race to win. You can put that last verse up there, but I'll just close with that. So we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin, like unbelief, like doubt, like worry, like anxiety, like all these things, offense, sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And I tell you, crossing that finish line, I just felt like $1 million. even looking back on it as I'm preparing this, I got choked up. It's like there's a lot of encouragement out there. You can do this. It's not easy, but you have lots of people that are going to do it with you, that aren't perfect people, people that make mistakes. All the people in here, I mean, that's what the beautiful thing about the Bible is, their warts and ugly failures are all in mixed, written down along with their great, incredible successes and the amazing things God has done in their lives. And we're no different. We're no different. So I encourage you to keep running and apply faith. Mix what God is doing in your life with faith. Let's stand up and close. Thank you, Jesus. Always, if you'd like specific prayer for anything, there'll be people up here to my left that'll pray with you. And again, you have to be born again. I just want to say, for any of this to be utilized, you have to be born again. If you don't know that you're born again, if you don't know that you're made new in Christ by faith in the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, you have to start there. Otherwise, it's just human efforts and try harder techniques that will fail, guaranteed. You have to be born again. So they'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you and help explain to you how you can know that your sins are forgiven, how you can know that you're in the kingdom of God, and then you'll start to see the kingdom of God for yourself and not just through someone else. And so let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for the system that you set up, that we are to walk by faith and not by sight, that we can know you, that we can live for you, and we can make you known. Father, I just pray that you'd help us, God, to exercise faith in our everyday lives. God, to know your promises, to know your word, to get to know us. Pray for a rededication of everyone in this room. I just want you to dedicate time to read the Bible. Read it, know it, understand what you're reading, and look to do what it says. That's the starting point. And then apply faith, combine it with faith. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, not a reader only. Lord, if we want to grow, help us, God. Help us all to grow more as students of your word and those who put it into practice as wise builders. Thank you for your great love for us all. We just ask you to bless the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.